You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello, welcome, and it's the day after the day of the draft where Montreal Canadiens picked David Ryan Backer for their fifth overall pick. I'm joined by Matt Mania and, of course, Thibaut Châtel. First and foremost, Thibaut, I'm so happy to see all your work being promoted last night. You really deserve it after all these years. In a way, it's a shame that the response to the pick was as harsh as it was among many fans.
Well, thanks for having me first. But yeah, for sure, when Heinbacher got some traction, like back in late fall or something, like with my business partner, said I would say, hey, what if Montreal could get him? That would be so awesome, you know? And even if the Swiss National League is a very good league, probably top five, surely top five in the world, like right behind the Swedish SHL in Europe and the KHL on the side. There are not that many prospects from the Swiss National League for many reasons. We mentioned actually last time on that podcast, there's like the best Swiss prospect go to Canadian Junior. And with the limited number of import license, you just cannot get like a good Czech prospect or Slovak or Swedish or Finnish, whatever. So it had to be a local talent. Heinbacher is Australian, but he got a Swiss license. And this is not a league where you develop players because you have the specter of being relegated to the second level, which is a huge financial blow to your organization. So you don't mess around playing 18-year-old guys more than a couple of minutes a night. So it was crazy. And I guess for that reason, people do not watch Swiss hockey that much. And I totally understand that, yes, we could have got Michkov. And maybe in a few years, we say that we should have got Michkov. But that's the same thing for the teams that picked before us. But it was really feeling good. It was really feeling good being able to share all the numbers of the data that we have from the Swiss National League about Heinbacher and showing how good he is and how great a prospect he is to try to counterbalance the disappointment that a few fans might have hearing his name on the stage last night.
You mentioned, obviously, NLA, it's different. There has not been a lot of prospects, as you mentioned, coming out of NLA or National Liga now. And the last one we sort of know is Matthews.
Yeah, also, well, he chose a weird path because, yeah. And hopefully it's something we're going to see more.
Is it also difficult for scouting services? A lot of the scouting services rely on video, especially from maybe a region in Central Europe that hasn't been of a particular interest before. And therefore, it sort of creates maybe a groupthink because they use the same source of information where you can see different shifts from one player, but you don't see him, how he acts outside of that video screen or outside of that camera angle? Or is it the fact that very few go to Switzerland to check prospects?
I would not talk for scouts, but what I do know and what I heard, obviously I'm not on the ground, I'm in Montreal, but like I went to Switzerland this summer for the preseason and I went to see a random Geneva versus a chess team up in the mountains, and there were a Washington Cap scout there, actually watching the chess team because there's no one on Geneva squad. So there are people just going around and seeing games in Europe, and you have, obviously it's not as precise as having one guy for the OHL and a couple of guys for Quebec and whatever. So you have guys. I've had teams telling me that, oh, tonight there are, especially near the end of the season, tonight there is like four or five scouts in the stands watching Heinbacher specifically. Still, I think there is a lot of group thinking. Word goes around. The TV feed for the Swiss National League is as good as the NHL. you can watch all the games. You have access on different scouting platforms to get his shifts by shift videos or whatever. From what I saw from my own perspective, like advocating from him back to December, January, where his name was like, I think Bob McKenzie had him at, in the 20s, late first round in the, and I was like, no, he's way better than that. And then people like kind of start talking about him. And yeah, I think there is a group thinking and snowballing effect still, exactly like you saw for any other prospect, if they have a strong U18 World Championship or U20 World Championship. It's just, I guess some scouts and some media would just watch small samples of games and then just go running from there.
You mentioned, obviously, the World Juniors. He was at a very bad team, Austrian team, that didn't have their best players there and was relegated. It wasn't really a standout performance. Obviously, that hampers his draft stock in many of the average Joe's point of view. As you mentioned also, the Swiss League is a really, really good league. You say it's the fifth best league in the world. I would probably say fourth because I don't trust KHL that much anymore.
And Liga is falling.
Yeah, Liga is definitely behind the NL, National League. We agree on that. The question is where we point to KHL, I think. Would it have been better in a way? Because he is more of a defensive style defender, a very strong and a very good one. Would it have been better for him in the public's opinion, Matt, to go over to Canada, play juniors, and score 1,500 goals?
If you go to North American juniors, like if you're in the CHL, I think you get more visibility. And I think that definitely ups people's perception of a player 100% over here, right? If you're playing for the Phoenix de Sherbrooke and you've got, you know, Joshua Roy on your team and people have an opportunity to see you play, they can go and see you live a lot more. I definitely think that's going to change the perception. I think visibility is a big reason why people are as upset with this pick as they are. But then the second reason is that they left elite offensive talent on the board. So my question to you, Thibault, I'd be wondering, what do you think his offensive abilities, like how do you think that's going to translate to the NHL? Because this is the number one reason why people are upset, is because the Habs have lacked offense for a long time. They had Carey Price for his entire career, and they did not do enough to get scoring around him to make that team good enough to get over the hump, right? Carey Price could only take them so far. And that's why I think people are so upset. It is not necessarily the visibility aspect. I think it's because of the fact that they left elite offensive talent on the board. So how do you think that translates? Because I was reading your article on Substack. I'll make sure we definitely link to that in our article on Eyes on the Prize. But you're mentioning that one of the things that he does really well is in terms of retrieving pucks in the defensive zone and getting things moving forward out of the zone. So transitional play, starting that transition. How do you think that translates for him to the NHL?
I think it translates well. I think, like I tried to explain in my article, like his offensive numbers, he scored a lot of points, assists mostly, playing for a bad team. And the Swiss National League is a very fast league. It's not defensive-minded like Liga can be.
It's the more North American league in Europe.
Yeah, but it's also more and more mix of Swedish and North American. I think more you get a lot more European coaches right now, and teams are for checking smarter. You know, spending their energy in the right way in the neutral zone. Transition are more control, etc. So I think it was the perfect environment for him to grow. At his age, that he would not have had playing junior in Canada. This year, he was playing a top role, top 5-on-5 minutes on his team, on a bad team that was under pressure constantly from players that are borderline NHLer, basically, from the other teams. And he was very good at it. He was very good in a role where his role was to recover pucks, boxing out the offensive from the other team, recovering the puck, make sure you get a clean breakout, control breakout, making the smart play, attacking the center of the ice, pulling up plays and being there when it was needed in the offensive zone. The area of improvement in his offensive game, back to your question, is that when he will be able to play for a more offensive team, a more offensive system, Pretty confident he has the tools, he has the vision, he has the stick handling, he has the puck protection, body protection to carry pucks through the neutral zone, attack the center of the ice like he did when he got injured at the World Championship. I put that clip in the article because the intention was good. His success percentage on control entries was good this season when he had the opportunity to do it. This is going to translate weight in the well in the NHL. So you should not expect from him to be a Cal Makar, an Adam Fox. He's not your number one power play quarterback. We think we already have that in Lane Utzon. Ryan Bachar is the guy that comes right behind. He's the guy that's going to win the 5-on-5 puck battle possession for 25 minutes a night at 5-on-5, play PK, play the second wave on the power play. It is not the most flashy player. It is the most mature player, the most mature prospect we could have, we could hope for. And if you take Michkov out of the equation, basically, that's the way I see it. Like, if you're the Habs and you decide you're not going to pick Michkov, who's best after that? Like, you could have argued a lot more if the Habs were picking Heinbacher at 3 or 4, leaving one of Fantilli or Smith on the board. But then, like, are you going to bet on the Ryan Leonard? Are you going to bet on any other good, potential, very good offensive forwards in this draft? Or are you going to take the well-rounded, very mature player that's going to develop very well, the management's going to love because he's a smart, young guy, is going to be a cornerstone in your team for the next decade? That's the way I see it.
Matt, you mentioned one thing that also needs to be taken out of the question. When you look at elite talent and you think that Montreal needs it in order to perform because it didn't perform very well with Carey Price in the net, Carey Price is gone. We're not going to get another Carey Price for a decade at least. And you're going to need those defenders that stand up and are being counted at any instance in a way. I think people will warm up. I think it is the thing is the uncertainty, and it's the mystery box in reverse in a way. The mystery box speaks to us when it comes to a 5'10 player from Russia that can score goals any way he wants. But it doesn't speak to us when there's a mystery box that is a big defender out of Austria, because Austria is not a power play or power hockey nation. And the Swiss League has not developed prospects since, Matthews. I mean, if you look at it from another perspective, a right-handed defender has been on something that Montreal fans and team has been looking at for a long time. They address that problem. Everyone keeps saying size is a problem with Montreal. They address that problem as well. What more can you do? I understand the reason for top scoring, but if you don't have a goalie, then you're going to need to build a defense.
Yeah, and here's another thing too, though, right? When we talk about elite, and when I talk about elite, I'm mostly referring to the offensive talent there. But one of the things that really stuck out to me in your article, Tsibo, was when you talked about the percentage chance of them becoming elite. And you guys had him, based on your data, just behind Connor Bedard. So you had him as number two in terms of his chances of becoming an elite player in the NHL. Just for anybody who hasn't had the chance to get to your article yet, what can you tell us about your guys' methodology in terms of determining that? Like, what goes into making David Reinbacher the number two behind Connor Bedard in terms of his upside at the NHL level?
So basically our prospects model, which is different from the draft model, because the draft model, you're forcing basically player to be compared at a very precise moment in time, even if they're like maybe 1 year older or younger than the other ones, et cetera, et cetera. And you can take less previous data because it's just less comparable, because you're forcing player that way. Well, so basically our prospects model allows us to look at players from 16 to 22 years old, look at their rolling performance over 3 seasons, look at their age that year, look at the league they're playing in, and look at what was the precedent comparable data around that context. And the interesting thing, I think, obviously, from my perspective, I build it, is that we do not limit ourselves to the NHL. Because if you do that, well, out of Switzerland, there's not that many people to be compared to, right? So we look at what players became all over their career, whatever the league, and we translate every league into NHL E coefficient data. And so based on that, David Hainbacher playing at that level this year at 18 in National League, playing at the level he played last year in Swiss League and U20, scoring a point per game in U20 Swiss hockey, if you want some offensive numbers, his projection for the next decade of his career, because we look at what players are going to become on average till they are 30 years old. So it's a very long-term projection. It gives us that 52% chance of becoming on average a top 10% defenseman in the NHL, because he's so, I hate the word safe, but safe in his development, where he's already at. If you compare him to where David Jiříček or Moritz Seider were at 18 years old, Hainbacher is more advanced, basically. So based on that, he's like 1 year more advanced than those guys. And so based on that, the level of certainty of him becoming a key dominant player is that high.
Because if you look at it again, Jiříček and Seider came out of two worst leagues in a way, and not to be forgotten is the fact that Reinbacher has played pro for 2 years before his draft, because the NLB or
Swiss League now,
yeah, the Swiss League right now is a professional league. It's a second division, much in the same way as Hockey Allsvenskan is in Sweden. Yep. So there is this fact that he has already played pro 2 years. You have seen a trend that is very, very positive. So I can understand the numbers in that regard and the comparison as well. And to be reminded, when Detroit picked Seider at six, everyone was saying, what happened? Except for maybe Steve Yzerman.
Yeah. I was going to mention this. I think I was writing the article yesterday and I was trying to write a conclusion, and I was going to write, actually wrote the first time, like, this is a unique case of a modern, well-rounded defenseman that is worth picking him in the top five, top 10. It was, no, it's just like, okay, Seider, Nemeth, Jiříček. I mean, all those guys are pretty much made from the same mold, and we could see a trend there. And if you look at the past Stanley Cup champions, they had a lot of those kind of defensemen. Big, physical guy, skating well, handling the puck well, offensive upside, and you build a whole defensive brigade around those guys. Like, Tampa did it. Vegas did it this year again. Yes, if you have a Cal Makar, that's great, but there are not 20 of him in the league. Hopefully, Lennartson is going to be that firecracker on the power play at a 5-on-5, but you need guys behind him like Hainbacher, Goulet, to handle the work.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
So if you take Michkov out of the equation again, I'm pretty confident it was the best choice to make for Montreal.
I asked you for it last night on Twitter as well. Is Reinbacher directly the best right-handed defenseman in the organization of Montreal Canadiens now?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, no question. He's probably the best defenseman at all in the Montreal organization. Going back to the prospect model, I tried to explain earlier, like, if you compare Hudson to Hainbacher right now, they are at the same level. but Hudson is obviously 1 year older. So it took one more year to Hudson to get to the same level of hopes, let's call it that, that Heimbacher is already had. So if those two guys can develop and be what they are projected to be, that's going to be a huge win for Montreal.
I want to ask you one other thing too about what I saw in your article, because you had a very interesting little tidbit there where you said he was ranked first on points, second on win shares over five defensemen playing in the NL in their draft year. Who was number one in win shares and why didn't we draft that guy?
That was Roman Josi. So.
It was Roman Josi. So I kind of figured that was the answer that you were going to give me there. So then my question is, how would you compare him? Because like if I think if we find out here, if Habs fans can collectively agree or come to the realization somehow that he's the next Roman Josi, I think a lot of people would calm down about the pick. So contrast that for me. Are we getting something in the environs of a Roman Josi, or are we getting a very different player? You said he's the best defenseman overall in the Montreal Canadiens organization right now, which would be fantastic. If you're right about that, I would love to for you to be right about that. Contrast that to Roman Josi then. He was number two in terms of win shares in their draft year. How would you compare him to Roman Josi? How would you compare his likelihood of getting to the NHL and having an impact like Roman Josi?
I guess it's one thing to predicting an impact for any kind of player. And in that sense, Heimbacher is ahead of Josi at the same time of their career, 18 years old, draft pick. Sorry. But they are not the same kind of players, obviously. We all know Roman Josi is one of those firecracker guy, offensive-minded defensemen, if any, improved defensively later in his career. So we're not getting Roman Josi. We're getting a guy that potentially is going to have a huge overall impact because of the things he do. And among the things he does, there's not going to be first wave power play, probably. There's not going to be 80 point season, but there's going to be a lot more other things that's going to do very, very well that make him the best defensive prospect in the Montreal organization, at least at the same level than Lane Hudson. And Lane Hudson is, while still yesterday, the best defensive prospect in Montreal for specific reasons as well.
Mm. I think Matt has asked this question, but I'm going to get it on anyway. You were adamant last time that Reinbacher has barely scratched his offensive upside. You mentioned last time and this time that that play against Sweden in the World Championships where mm-hmm. Sundin just smashes him up with a great tackle, a very fair tackle. I don't think you can hate the outcome, but you can love the tackle because it was a great tackle in that regard. But where do you think he needs to really improve, and can he maybe go from? I see him maybe a little bit of a Weber light in a way. He doesn't have the same shot, but on the other hand, he has a better, stronger passing game. But where can he make that shot better and become a staple on the first power play unit, as an example?
Probably. He could certainly practice it more. That was not his role in Kloten because they had hired a Swedish defenseman to be that power play one guy offensive defenseman. His role was to play on the other pair of the top four, handling the top opposition, playing the big minutes and everything. It's just one thing if you look at first wave power play with the defenseman is going to shoot the puck from the point, or if you look at first wave power play with the quarterback that's going to pass the puck around. So that's why I don't put him on the first wave power play, because of that. It's not really because of his shot. It's just like it's the skating, it's the navigating the blue line very fast, handy, quick response. He's maybe not at that level when you're thinking about, again, Makar, Fox, Josi, and hopefully Hudson for the Habs. So if you're looking in terms of the Habs organization and the pieces they have together, and you try to fit them together, then you're going to probably assign one role to Hudson, one role to Heimbacher, one role to Gouley, maybe Baron fits there, et cetera, et cetera. And in terms of improving offensively, I think it's going to be very interesting next year to see what he does in Kloten, how much a bigger role he gets. There are some changes in their defensive brigades. We can get more ice time, more responsibilities as well. The one thing I'm looking very forward to is actually 2 years from now when he's going to jump to AHL probably. Montreal should take the time, or NHL directly. But so far in his career, Hainbacher always adapted very, very well when he was moving up the leagues. U17 was very good. U20, point per game. Swiss League, second level. He was a good, reliable third pair defenseman. And the next year, at the highest level in Swiss hockey, he was a top 5-on-5 guy already. So he took huge steps year after year in his development. If he continues that way, there is still a huge offensive opportunity, absolutely, especially if Clotens just give him more free range, kind of.
Clotens next year, his usage, you're saying it's going to go up most likely. They know what they have. Obviously, they also know the impact of having an NHL drafted player, a highly drafted player as well, PR-wise, and yeah, also for future development. We see what it has meant to Rögle to come up as a prominent club in Sweden where you want to send your players because they're going to get ice time, etc. But what can Montreal fans have as expectations for Rheinbacher next year in Kloten?
I think it would be to confirm everything he did this season, first and foremost, because as good as he was, he took a huge step up, which is really, really good, which is pretty usual when you're looking at top draft prospect. If you like all of them, like in the player cards we had online, we highlighted everything every time a prospect was one of the biggest riser on his draft season, and most of the first round guys they were big risers. So that's usual. What you want is for the player to confirm, not just get a sleep like, oh, I got drafted, now I'm gonna get a contract 2 years from now, I can take a rest, whatever. No. We want him to confirm, get even better at 5-on-5, not only in goals for and against, but maybe even better on expecting goals possession, especially if Clotten has a bit more strength and a bit more offensive talent at 5-on-5, not just power play. And get that offensive puck on his stick mentality more often. Just go beyond that first pass, clean breakout, which he does already very well. Go through the neutral zone, take your shot, take your chances, try again and again, maybe get clipped a couple of times like he did at a world championship, but practice that for sure. This is a very interesting point you mentioned, Pat, in PR perspective for Clotten. Like, they made a bet on him at 15 years old. It's paid up pretty well yesterday evening when a lot of people learned about the existence of Clotten in Swiss hockey. So they're going to be watched for sure because of Hainbacher next year. And it could get them more player in the future. Oh, that team developed a top 5 pick in the NHL. Maybe I'm going to send my kid there. So they probably, for that reason, are going to give him even more ice time and opportunity to showcase the whole team on TV for everybody.
And Clotten is just, what is it, 20 minutes out of Zurich, more or less? So it's half an hour.
It's 5 minutes out of the airport. The airport, yeah, is actually in Clotten. And 20 minutes from Zurich.
So it's good for, yes, Montreal, the Montreal scouting and development staff as well. It's easy access. Every flight has a connection to Zurich.
Montreal, Zurich, flight nights. And you wake up in Clotten. I did it. It's possible.
Well, last thing I might want to ask, because and this is not necessarily something that I think they should do, but it's something that, let's face it, we all know it's going to come up, and it's going to come up often, and it's probably going to start coming up more and more after development camp, because he's going to come over to North America presumably for development camp. What about North America next season? Do you think that would be a good idea, a bad idea, or somewhere in between? Like, should he come over? Should he try to play for the Laval Rocket? I mean, Laval is a pretty good place to be playing hockey. I'm not too sure if it would be the best thing for his development. Personally, I prefer when they get European prospects to let them cook in their own league. But this is going to come up. So I'm going to ask you, because you're an expert, what do you think about it?
So on one side, I think he would have been ready 100%. Like Jiříček or Němec were ready to do it. On the other side, well, first, he wants to stay in Switzerland to finish his business course. That's out of the equation. But for his development, like you said, I agree. I prefer him to stay in Europe one more year, making sure he get the top 5-on-5 minutes in his team against top competition. And after that, he will have the time to come over. Like Moritz Seider did very well going back to Sweden for 1 year. There is no pressure. I mean, Montreal is not going to win the Cup next year. They probably should get another high draft pick along the way before moving up the standings. So staying in Kloten, in Switzerland, in the environment that made him grow to be a top 5 pick in the draft, that's 100% the best decision for him.
I agree. I think probably, you know, let these kids, because we've seen it before, right? They draft a European prospect, they bring them over too early, and then all of a sudden it's, well, you know, 3 years down the road, we're going, man, we probably should have let him stay in his league for another year or two. So yeah, that's the reason I asked, is because I know it's going to come up. I know Habs fans, and I know they're going to be at development camp and beyond. They're going to be like, all right, put this kid in Laval tomorrow.
For sure. And you can wonder how much the Slafkovský example is impacting that thinking as well for the Habs management. Should he have stayed one more year in Europe?
I think it speaks well from that point of view as well, that he wants to finish school.
Yeah.
It speaks to maturity, it speaks to insight, and it gives Montreal an easy way out when asked.
Character, right? Character. One of the favorite words of the Montreal Canadiens.
It's he kindly excused Carey Price in an interview yesterday evening, like, oh, I thought that was on purpose. I thought they made a joke on purpose. Like, that was, you're 18 years old, and the moment you've been dreaming about, like, hearing your name on the stage at the draft just got messed up really bad, and you're excusing the guys. I thought that was pretty smart of him.
Again, you've been listening to Thibaut Chatel. You find him. He needs definitely more followers this upcoming season if Ryan Bucker stays in Nationalliga. You find him at Twitter, Thibaut_Chatel. We'll be sure to mention it. You find him on Substack. Might be very interesting to have some of his reads there. We're going to promote his article that he posted last night. And it's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's even a bigger pleasure to see you and have you on the pod. Matt, you want to finish this up?
No, I just want to say thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. I think we all appreciate it. I think everybody in the fan base right now needs a little bit of a, I don't want to say reality check, but we need more information, right? I was upset with the pick last night. I'm coming around on it. And I really appreciate the additional information, additional context around what he's been doing in the Swiss league there.
Hey, no problem. It's been a pleasure. It's super great to see all the work we are doing in Switzerland is going to pay off for Montreal fans. And I'll make sure to stay in touch next season, tracking him and watching him, and keeping an eye on his development for sure.